Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe McGee. We are back with the Heroes of Faith. This is going from Genesis to Revelation, pulling out stories about all the people that God used. God wasn't looking for strong men. God was looking for somebody to be strong in. So it's not the smart men and women or the strong men and women or the high-IQ'd men and women. It's the ones that were willing to be obedient to what God asked them to do. So that makes everybody a candidate to be used by God. I've done it myself when I first was called to ministry. Man, God surely got you got somebody better than me. Somebody that can speak better than me. Somebody smarter than me. Come on, God. But God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has a great sense of humor. So today we're talking about David killing Goliath, which is they made movies about it and Bible stories about it and written books about it. But it may be interesting to know, you probably didn't get all the detail. You know, if you read the Bible, you get a lot more detail than you just hear stories. So we're going to pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 17 if you want to take notes today. It's really, really good. It starts talking about how the Philistines had gathered their armies and marched into Israel. They're going to fight King Saul and soldiers. On one mountain on one side, the Philistines pitched their tents. On the other side, Israelites made their camp. The battle between the two armies did not begin at once. Instead, the Philistines sent out one of their soldiers, a giant, to challenge Saul's men. He would get in the middle of that valley between them, and he'd yell at them. He'd thunder. He'd say, why should a whole army battle with us? I am a Philistine. Choose one of your men. Pick one. Let him and I fight. You know, if I kill him, we'll be your servants. If he kills me, we'll be your servants. When the men of Israel saw the great giant covered with the armor, and he heard the following voice, they were afraid. Nobody wanted to fight him. Goliath was nearly twice as large as the ordinary man. Even King Saul, who was head and shoulders taller than any of the men in his army, looked small beside this mighty giant. But every morning and every evening, Goliath would call out. Just like, well, here it is the morning. He's going to go take a lunch break. He'll be back this evening. He'd call out to the Israelite soldiers every morning, every evening. The men trembled when they saw the giant and heard his mighty voice. 40 days passed. Nobody would fight with him. Meanwhile, David was at home caring for his father's sheep. Three of Jesse's sons were in Saul's army. Now, Jesse wouldn't know how they were doing, how they were getting along. He says, hey, David, come down here. I want to give you some sandwiches. Take some sandwiches to my brother. Take this and feed them, these loaves of bread and this corn. And said, check on them and check with the captain. And find out how your brothers are doing, then come back and tell me. So early the next morning, David started to the camp of Israel. When he arrived, the soldiers were standing in line for battle. At once, David tried to find his brothers. As he talked to them, he noticed how anxiously the brothers watched the Philistine camp. Their faces were pale with fear. And David wondered, what does this mean? Then he saw the great giant Goliath, and he heard his thunderous voice. He saw soldiers turn and was frightened just like little sheep. When David talked with the men about Goliath, said, have you noticed how giant he is, how big? If a man kills Goliath, the king will give him riches beyond his wildest dream, and the king will let him marry his daughter. Ooh, well, now that sounds good. Saul even promised to pay the debts of the man's father, whatever he owed. He'll be debt-free the rest of his life. Incredible. So even with such a reward, this would mean somebody's going to have to fight the giant. David said, well, why should this wicked Philistine bother us? I'll go out and kill him. How surprised everybody was. You what? No, I'll kill him. No, you're just a kid, man. Get out of here. And again, he said, no. Since you don't understand. This guy's terrible. He's mean. He's ugly. He's big. So I'm telling you something. I'll kill him. So Eliab, his brother, was angry and embarrassed that the younger brother would say such a thing in front of his other soldiers. He said, why don't you come here anyhow? Get out of here. Go home. And so who's taking care of the sheep while you're here? You come here just to watch something? You got so much spare time on your hands? And so what have I done to make you that angry? David wanted to know. Just about then, the messenger from David came from the king. David was brought to the king, and he said, hey, don't let anybody be afraid of Goliath. I'll fight him. Saul looked at the young boy and stood before him and said, you can't fight against this Philistine. You're just a kid. You know, he's been fighting for years. He's experienced in battle. David told the king, look, I take care of my father's sheep. Different times a lion and a bear has grabbed sheep and from the flock. Both times I rescued the lion and I killed it, the bear, and I killed the wild animal. The Philistine giant will be just like one of these animals. The Lord will help me. He'll protect my sheep. He'll protect and defeat this Philistine. And Saul heard, he said, well, I guess. Go on. So Saul was wearing all the clothes. Saul saw David was wearing the shepherd's clothes. Here, he said, wear my armor. But the heavy coat and the stuff, it wouldn't even fit him. It's too big. He said, no, take this off. I can't do this. I can't move around in this. He told Saul, listen, I can't wear this. I'm not used to them. Just take this armor off. I'm putting my own clothes back on. And he went to meet Goliath. They were down at this brook, and it's really not a big valley at all. I've been there three different times. It's a small valley. But, man, they can see each other. They can see the whites of each other's eyes. So then he put on a shepherd's bag. Taking out a sling, he walked toward the giant. How surprised and shocked Goliath was to see David coming toward him without a weapon. He didn't have he got no sword. He got no spear. And then all of a sudden, the Israelites were making fun of him, sending out this kid. Goliath roared back, am I a dog? You come up to fight me with a stick? And he threatened to tear David to pieces. And David did not turn back. Instead, he called out, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. You have defied the Lord, and today the Lord will deliver you into my hand. Then all the earth will know that there is a Lord God in Israel. So all of Israel stared and watched as this thing took place. The Lord's going to help me win this battle, David said. The giant with his heavy armor moved slowly toward David. David took a stone out of his bag and ran toward Goliath. Giant's walking, David's running. David put a stone in his sling and he threw it. And the stone hit the giant in the forehead right between the eyes. He fell to the ground with a great thud. The Philistines didn't know what to do anymore. What just happened? They knew God was against them. And all of a sudden, they broke and ran. They left their tents, their belongings behind. They ran as fast as they could the other direction. Saul's army chased them down. There was great rejoicing that day. Men of Israel, for they knew God had delivered them from their strong enemy. You know, before David fought against Goliath, few people had ever heard of David. But when the king saw David's bravery, he must have wondered whether David came from a family of warriors. Perhaps the king just wanted to find out about David's family because what he had promised his daughters and the person who killed Goliath. When David returned from the fight, he said, what family do you come from? Who is your family? Did I misread this wrong? Who's your daddy? Who's your mama? David reminded him, I'm the son of Jesse. My father lives in Bethlehem. Saul's son Jonathan watched the young hero return to the palace. He admired David greatly, and all of a sudden a friendship broke out. The two became well acquainted. Said after Saul commanded David to return to the palace, Jonathan and David were best friends from that time forward. And to show David how much he loved him, Jonathan took one of his own princely robes and he gave it to David. And he gave David his sword and his bow. With these gifts went Jonathan's promise to always be David's friend. Because David had defeated Goliath, Saul made him captain of the army. Well, I'll promote you. You've been in charge of my band, but hey, I'll just make you captain of my army. And David did whatever the king commanded. He's just a kid. He's going to do what's right. After David became the favorite of all the men and all the servants, the women began singing songs. Saul might have killed his thousands. David's killed his 10,000. If they'd had a radio back then, David's on the radio every night, man. Women are singing about him. They want his autograph, and everybody wants to date David. He was something. Since first Saul didn't pay a whole lot of attention to David's popularity. Then Saul heard the women going through the streets singing and playing the instruments, making merry. They sang that Saul had defeated his thousands, but David's defeated his 10,000. And Saul became very proud. And the women sang more, how David had defeated his 10,000. Man, how mad Saul became. He was furious, man. The women thought David was greater than he was. In his heart, Saul was jealous of David. He thought, man, the next thing I know, David will have my kingdom. He'll take my kingdom away from him. I got to keep my eye on him. And from that day forward, Saul hated David. Saul was so angry and jealous that an evil spirit swept over him. Again, in his mind, his heart was tormented before David played on the harp for the king. This time, David's sweet music made the king only feel worse. Two different times, David played, Saul chucked a spear at his head, but both times, David saw the spear coming and he ducked it just in time. Now, Saul was sure that God was with David. The king was afraid. No longer could he have David around. He said, he can't be the head of my army. He can't let David be in charge of all my praise and worship. We got to do something. So in spite of all the treatment, David acted wisely, for the Lord was helping him. When Saul noticed how well David took all of his demotions, Saul just kept demoting him. He kept demoting. Man, he's not even a private now. Just kept demoting him. He was even more afraid. For even though he had promised his daughter to the man who defeated Goliath, Saul let her marry another man. Everybody knew. You know, David loved even Saul's younger daughter, Michal. When Saul heard about this, he planned a way to get rid of David. If David could kill 100 Philistines, then he could marry Michal. Saul believed that David would be killed sometime in the fight. How surprised Saul was that David returned from the battle having killed twice as many as he had asked. He didn't kill 100, he killed 200. Now Saul had to let him marry Michal. Oh my gosh, I've stuck my neck out. What am I going to do? I got to let him get married. And the days passed. The king noticed how much the daughter loved David. That made Saul even all more jealous and afraid. Then he sent David into battle. And David did so well that he was honored throughout the land. Every time he stuck something else in front of David, David did it good. Every battle David went to, he won. You want to kill me 100 Philistines? David killed 200. I'm going to go the second mile. I'm going to do above and beyond. It was so biblical what David did. He wasn't trying to impress Saul. He's just trying to do what God wanted him to do. David's trying to please God. Hey, I want to do what God's called me to do. That's how I was able to kill the lion and the bear, and I killed the giant, and I killed the 100 Philistines. I killed the 200 Philistines. Whatever you ask him to do, I'm going to do it really well. It's not because of you, King Saul. It's because of the God that I fear and that I love. David loved God, and he wanted to please God. So the story begins, and that's a great story. They've made movies about it, but we're going to go through it kind of like one story at a time. It was a great, great time, and even David's family. Three of David's brothers eventually rode with Saul to try to kill David. It didn't make his family huck his neck. It didn't make some people. It's like he's running for his life out in the wilderness, out in the Valley of En-Gedi. Falls out there, and the Bible says 400 unemployed, misfit, depressed men found David in that hole in the ground. All of a sudden, he looks up one day, and there's 400 people in the ground with him in that hole. What do you mean? We don't have a job. We don't have a life. We don't have a sword. We don't have any food. We don't have a donkey. We're just like you. We got nothing going on. But the Bible says that David took those 400 men, and he built an army. And they came out of those caves 7 years later, and they never lost a battle. God has a way of showing off. In your darkest moment, when you think it can't get any worse, God's about to show up. It's always darkest before the dawn. That's not just a saying. God loves to show off. So how do you get God to show up? Well, the Bible says God inhabits praise. God inhabits praise. That's why he loved David. David sang songs of praise all the time. That's what the book of Psalms is. David singing songs of praise, praising God. And when you praise God, God shows up. God loves to be praised. He loves to be gunplanned. So guys, let's get in the habit of praising God. We're no different than David. We got the same weaknesses he had, the same strengths he had. It's all God. It's a God thing. So the more we trust God, the marriage is going to show up. It's going to be a great run, guys. God bless, guys. Thank you for listening. Look forward to talking to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.